Welcome this morning. My name is Terry Irwood. I'm one of the pastors here. In fact, I'm the family pastor and the local display pastor. And so it's a delight for me to have an opportunity. This is 2 weeks in a row. I've been here 9 years, and so I don't think I've ever had this privilege. But this morning, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart that me being up here communicating to you is not a thrill for me, but it's an honor for me, knowing what God has done in my life, knowing the changes that He's made in me. It's a privilege and an honor for me to share some of that with you today. And so I'm excited about that. For those of you who were not here last week, you missed a great service with our kids being here with us and leading us in worship. And we heard a lot about Vacation Bible School that happened, wow, it seems like forever, but a week ago. For those of you who have not gotten word, we had 410 children come through from the ages of 3 to 5th grade. We had, amen. And we had 230 volunteers that came and participated in that. So for all of you who made that possible, thank you. It's every year it's a highlight for us at Cornerstone to be able to bring the your children who are part of this family, and then also the children of the community, to bring them in and teach them about Jesus. So thank you for that. And in the midst of all that's been going on in our family ministry and children's ministry, our director of almost 4 years, Rochelle Hansen, delivered their third baby on Thursday, C-section. And Finn, we went and saw Finn on Friday night, and Bobby and Rochelle, and they're doing great. And Rochelle does have a bad cold, so you can be praying for her. But through prayer and just really wrestling with God, her and Bobby decided that her best hours and her best energy would be well spent at home with those three kids. And so we totally agree with that. And so as we thought, okay, we're going to be leaving Rochelle, we'll be leaving us. And Lord, who is it that you have for us? Who is it that you want to come in and lead our children's ministry? And so this morning, last week we introduced Christy Curley to you. And we are so delighted to have Christy. I was over praying with her this morning. And, you know, she's kind of like a kid in a candy shop. This is her first Sunday, and she's excited and seeing everything going on. But be praying for Christy. This is a very, summer is a weird time for church. And so for her to kind of get acclimated and get things moving in the children's ministry, don't overwhelm her. Just hug her right now and tell her you're praying for her. But Christy's been around Cornerstone for 10 years, and her and Frank, and their two daughters. And so we're just delighted to have her with us. So here's a commercial for them. If this summer you could help in the children's ministry, if you could make a commitment to 1 week, we've published those about 3 weeks in a row now in our weekly newsletter, and then also through the children's ministry. But if you could help, just one Sunday, maybe your community group could take one Sunday and say, you know what, we're going to be in the pre-Ks or we're going to be in the K. That would be great. It would give our normal teachers, the teachers that we depend on throughout the year, a well-needed break. And so if you could do that, that would be great for her, I know. All right. Now, today we're going to end our series on prayer. And it's been a great encouragement for me. The whole desire behind us taking a month to talk about prayer is so that you would be encouraged to pray more, that we as a staff would be encouraged to pray more. Because what we're learning, right, is when we pray, we learn a little bit more about ourselves, but more than that, we're learning a lot about who God is. And our desire for you to pray is not just so that you can figure your life out and God put your life in nice order, but no, so that you can get to know the God of prayer. When you think about it, isn't prayer an amazing gift that God's given us? I mean, here's the creator of the universe who wants to have a relationship with his created beings, And he doesn't choose a cell phone. He doesn't choose the internet. He chooses a conversation with us. Him communicating to us and us communicating to him. And from that, from the beginning of Adam walking in the garden with God and communing with God, that's where it all began. And it's amazing of that precious gift that he gives us, and yet we don't use it enough. In my life, when I have to ask myself, how precious is this gift? And then I start taking inventory and go, well, it must not be that precious because you're not doing it much lately. So our desire is, we've brought to you Jesus' prayer in John 15 where he points to the Spirit of God doing a work. And then Todd, I was going to say Paul, but Brother Todd, not Apostle Todd and Brother Paul, but the other way around. Brother Todd talked to us in Ephesians 1, and then last week I preached in Ephesians 3 about the wisdom and the knowledge of the love of God. And today we're going to talk about God's will. That the Spirit of God is actually producing in us, revealing to us God's will for not only our lives, but for his plan. And so that's what we're going to talk about. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. I do have study guides. If you want those, the ushers have those. Maybe you'll have to get them on your way out this time. But Colossians chapter 1. And before we start reading there, let me just go over some lessons that we've learned from Paul in our time with him. So if I could get the slides up for Paul's prayer lesson. The first thing that we're seeing in Paul, and we'll see it again today, is that he's praying more about spiritual matters than material or physical matters. Next thing, Paul, he has addressed matters of wisdom, knowledge, power, endurance, long-suffering, joy, gratitude, and love. Paul is praying for others, and he asks others to pray for him. His prayers have been less about doing and more about abiding or being. Todd talked a lot about this in his first 2 weeks. In communion and fellowship with God. And then Paul assumes through the power of the Holy Spirit and our growing in the knowledge of God that our actions and our character will be a reflection of our devotion to God. And then Paul is not praying that they would have a new experience. Rather, Paul, that they would grow in the experience that they already have in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in today's text here in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to see many of these elements in Paul's prayer. So let me begin reading. I'll start in verse 3 and we'll go through verse 14. Says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. This is Paul writing to the church at Colossae. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing. Amen. Thank you. As it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Here's his prayer. This is what we'll focus on today. And so, from the day we heard, Paul, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Okay, request that we would know God's will. Why? Purpose? So that we would please the Lord. Get that? That's what we're going to talk about. Okay? Fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Did y'all like that? I got a lot of those. My body just don't move like that anymore. I don't know where that came from. I apologize. I really do. The sacredness and the power of God's word is speaking to us this morning. And so I do not want to take away from that. So, wow. Okay. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Ouch. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let me pray for us. Father, oh, this morning, may we not only get your will, but may we pursue the giver of the will. And may we go forth free and empowered to produce this fruit that you say your spirit and your word will produce in us if we will abide in you and if we will obey you in your will. And so have your way this morning in our lives. Open up our hearts to receive, God, your truth. Open up our minds. Clear them of clutter. Allow us to focus in on what you have to say to us this morning. And I pray, God, that you, if need be, speak over me so that I don't hinder you from telling this, your people, what they need to hear and what you want to tell them this morning. I believe you've given it to us. So give me confidence in you and you alone, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Paul hadn't visited this church here in Colossae personally. He's getting this report back from his good friend Epaphras. And he's sitting in jail in Rome. And he's writing a letter to the Ephesians. And he's writing a letter to Colossians. Probably about the same time. He's kind of going from one page to another. However that's working. But he's writing because this church in Colossae, Epaphras has reported back to him, there's a heresy that's happened. And there's this group of people that's beginning to spread this heresy. And this heresy is, it's this spiritual elitism. It's this thing that they're looking for, and it's a thing. It's a spiritual elitism. It's promised people such a close union with God that they would achieve this spiritual perfection. And so they taught that it was this secret higher knowledge that was above Scripture that was necessary for you for this enlightenment and for their salvation. And so Paul's hearing this from Epaphras. And if you read the book of Colossians, what you find is Paul returning the letter. And he does one thing, particularly all out the letter. He raises the preeminence of Christ up. Because what had happened in their search for this enlightenment is they pushed Jesus aside. And they no longer saw Jesus as God. They no longer saw the deity of Christ anymore. In fact, they just saw Christ as another prophet. And what Paul's going to do in his letters, he's going to write, and if you read in 1, if you read in 2, all the way through, he's pointing them to God. He's giving them a clear picture of God. Is he refuting what they're saying? He is, and he's refuting it in grace and wisdom because he's pointing them to Christ. He's not pointing them back to the problem. Oh, how we could use that in our culture and day. With the things that have come even to the church in the last week, right? That those people out there who have lost loved ones or that are struggling with this ruling that has been made in favor of same-sex marriage, those people need to be pointed to Christ, not pointed to a religion or a religious activity that fails because it's created within our own system and our own power. No, they need to encounter the knowledge of God and who He is. And so that's where Paul is immediately going to his knees. He's praying for these people. And he's saying, Lord, if you could give those Colossians one thing, here's what they need. They need to be filled with the knowledge of your will. So that, here's the purpose, they would walk in a manner fully pleasing to the Lord. By the way, this is a great prayer for you to pray for yourself and to pray for others throughout the day, every day, right? Because we're faced with so many decisions that we need to know the Lord's will. So let's look at verse 9. Paul says, and so from the day we heard, we continually pray. We're not ceasing to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This wisdom and understanding is given to us by the Holy Spirit. We can't produce it within us. We can't earn it. We try to a lot of times. We try to academically. We try to in humility. But this is a passive means here, where the Spirit of God does the work in us. And last week I talked about that's what makes a Christian different than a non-Christian, is that God resides in us through His Holy Spirit. And because His Holy Spirit is alive within me this morning, I can think the thoughts of God. I can respond emotionally as God would have me respond because His Spirit is living within me. What a phenomenal, I thought prayer was amazing. What about God living in us? Check mark number two, right? Incredible thought that the God of the universe lives within me this morning and within you if you profess Him as Lord and Savior. So this wisdom and understanding is given to us by the Holy Spirit. This wisdom is the ability to accumulate organized principles from Scripture. The understanding part is just the application, right, of those principles in our daily life. So there's a wisdom to know, and then there's an understanding to act upon what we know. You see, Paul knows that this wisdom and understanding will help them stand against wrong doctrine and the pressures from a pagan culture. We need this constantly, don't we? We need the prayers of one another to help us to know the will of God, to have His knowledge and His understanding here this side of heaven. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly giving us wisdom and understanding, and He's doing it by revealing God to us. And He reveals God to us through His Word and through prayer. And that's what Paul is saying. Oh, as they pray, Spirit of God, move upon them in wisdom and understanding so that they can know You. Get their eyes off the circumstances and get them onto You. When false doctrine comes, when lies come against You, God, when cultural trends change and they want to make You something that You're not, get their eyes on You, Lord Jesus, not on the trends of culture, not on the decisions that are made in our courts. Paul prays this because he knows how God works. See, he's experienced himself, right? All kinds of stories throughout his epistles and Acts where Paul is led by the Spirit of God. He walks with the Spirit of God. And he knows how this works. And Jesus, he knows this too. He knows that Jesus said it. John 14, we have a slide for that, I believe. Look at what Jesus said. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Okay? So that's what Jesus said. He also said, Jesus said in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Paul experienced in his own life, and Jesus talked about it, lived it, wrote about it, through the Gospels were written about it to him. And so Paul really wants them to understand and know the Lord's will. Question: can I really, really know God's will? How many of you in your Christian journey, you've prayed about situations that's come up, and you've prayed, God, I want to do your will. And it doesn't seem to be that clear and that easy. How many of you experienced that? Raise your hand. All across this room. I'll raise both hands and feet, right? Like every decision gets harder the older you get. I thought it was going to be reversed, but it's not. So let me just stop here a minute, because I think this is a question I get all the time. When I was with Crusade and I had young people coming up through the ministry, I got this question so much. What is God's will for me? How can I really know God's will? So maybe this will be a little help for you this morning. First off, let's look at what Paul's saying. Paul is talking here about God's general will, okay? He's not talking about God's specific will for each individual in the Colossae church, but he's giving a general prayer of God's will. All right, that's important, so keep that in mind. What happens to us is when we think about the Lord's will, we immediately, right, we bring it down into terms of your will for my life, your will for the decision I need to make, right? Whether it's marriage, whether it's job, whether, you know, it's what I do with my money, it becomes more personal. Not wrong, not wrong, not bad. Keep those before the Lord, okay? But that is a sample of a specific will. Tell them I'm busy right now when you get that. I'll call them right back. But that's more of a specific will, not a general will. So Paul's referring to a general will here. And what he is saying is, as we grow in the knowledge of God, we will also grow in our understanding of his will, because our life will become more about the great commandment to know God and the great commission to make him known. And so the general will that God is given to his people, to his chosen one, is love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. And while you're doing that, take the gospel to the ends of the world. General will. In between that general is Genesis 1 and Revelation. All that comes in to God's general will. That's the beauty of the Spirit of God giving us the understanding and wisdom to know the Word of God. Okay? Follow me there? Now, Terry, you're not helping me with my decision I need to make about do I buy this car or not. All right. Hang on. Here we go. So, if that's a general will, then how do we know specific will? Well, if the matter we are praying about is covered in a passage of Scripture in which God gives us a command, or he gives us a direct declaration of his will in that Scripture, then the answer is easy, right? We obey. 1 John 5, this is not on the slides, but 1 John 5, right? When you come before, pray with confidence, knowing that God, if you're praying what you know God wants in your life, his general will, then he will hear your prayer and he'll respond to that prayer through his general will and through your obedience. So what about all these other situations that seem to be consuming our lives on a daily basis, that it's really not that cut and dry? Like, where are my kids going to go to school? Who am I going to marry, right? Should I buy this house? Should I not buy this house? Should I take this job over that job? What do I do? Well, in these cases, we should bring to bear as much Scripture as we understand. looking for principles within the Scripture that are consistent with how we're praying and what we're praying, okay? So the first thing is let the Scriptures come to bear on that decision. Number two, if we are unclear, we should ask for a deeper understanding and then pray what seems best for us. Giving those reasons up to the Lord and the why behind them. See, a lot of our prayer is from a motive of our heart. And so if we ask that little tag on why at the end of our request to God, sometimes God will use that why to examine our hearts. But if we're unclear, ask for a deeper understanding. Don't just make a decision. Believe God's going to answer it. Don't give up on God. And then sometimes God will grant what we ask for. Sometimes He will give us deeper understanding, or He'll change our hearts so that we are led to ask something differently. And sometimes we just need to submit to His will. Let me just share real briefly how that works practically for Sheila and I. After we were married, I was working, she was working, and it wasn't that I didn't enjoy working for an employer, but God really had a passion that He put in my heart to reach out to high school students. And so it was a matter of 5 or 6 years we were married. We had a lease. She was 2 or 3. And it was stirring in us to do something to make a difference in the lives of teenagers. And so we began praying. We began asking others to pray. We began on Mondays to ask them to fast and pray with us. And as God just took those prayers, He began just to orchestrate things beyond our control. Things just started coming together, people we met, ministries we were induced with. Within 6 months or so, by the work of the Lord, we're signed up for Campus Crusade for Christ. Well, 12 years later, we're cruising in life. Things are good. We get a call. Come visit a church out here in Simi Valley called Cornerstone. And we're here for a week. We prayed for about a month and a half or two. We asked others to pray with us. We figured that worked good the first time. Let's try it again. So we asked others to pray with us. Here we go. We're out here. God, this is a curveball to us. We had no idea. We were doing fine just where we were at. You know, hey, let us enjoy our party. You know, we stayed here a week. Get on an airplane. We'll never forget this moment, will we, honey? We're on an airplane, and I don't know how long we were up on the plane. We looked at each other, and almost at the same time, we just said, what would we do if we didn't come? That's it. So we went home and said, look, it's July, and our daughter starts in 9th grade, and if we're going to come, we got to get our house on the market, we got to get her in school, and we got to be there in about 5 weeks. Is that doable? And they said, come. Now, is that God's specific will? Did He answer that? Well, I don't know. But Paul not only prays that they will, but he adds some descriptions of what may indicate that we are in God's will. So we're not left to figure out, should I go to Poland or should I go to Romania? No, if we obey Christ within the general will, then the specific wills of what we do on a day in and day, if they reflect that obedience, if they reflect the glory and knowledge of God, then do it. Go for it. As Francis always used to say, get after it. That's what Paul is going to say. As you get after it, here's how you'll know if you're in the will of God. Look at verses 10 through 12. You'll bear fruit in every good work. See, the kinds of works and degree of fruitfulness will vary in each of our Christian lives. But as we obey God's will in our walk, we can work for Him and bear fruit for Him. Here are several ways the Bible talks about us bearing fruit. We bear fruit when we lead people to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:15. This is not in your notes, but write it if you can. Secondly, we bear fruit by praising God. Hebrews 13:15. Thirdly, we bear fruit when we give of our resources. Romans 15:26-28. And then lastly, we bear fruit when we display the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. So how do we know that we're in the will of God? Paul says the first way you will know is that you'll bear fruit. The second way you'll know is that you'll increase in the knowledge of God. There'll be a desire in you to know the God of your salvation, to know His Word. You remember when you first became a believer, you couldn't get enough Bible studies. You couldn't get enough, you know, people talking to you. You kept people up all hours of the night, asking them about Jesus, asking them about the Bible. Everything you heard was so new. That's what he's talking about. This increasing in the knowledge. It's an ongoing increasing in our knowledge. As we begin to get to know God, we will continue to want to know Him more. As that's going on in our life, it's a good indication that we're in the will of God. You see, He also uses that in our lives through our journey of faith. Because there are altars, right, that we build along the way where God moved upon our lives or our situations. And He moved upon, and He revealed Himself through Him moving that way. Like I shared earlier about, we had others join us and pray. We fasted. There were certain things we did because we saw God reveal Himself to us. And so, you know what? By experience, by increasing in our knowledge, we said, you know what? That's biblical. Let's do it again. Okay? The third way is being strengthened with all might so to endure and be patient with joy. In other words, when we are suffering or being persecuted, God is well pleased. You see, Paul's whole thing to the Colossae was, when you're filled with the wisdom and the knowledge of God's will, it will be pleasing to the Lord. And these things that he's laying out are not for us, but they're for the Lord. We are pleasing, we're walking in a manner that's pleasing unto the Lord. Look at the fourth thing. We will give thanks to the Father. This is just testimony of what God the Father has given to us through Jesus Christ, His Son, and being thankful for what He has accomplished on our behalf. Verses 12 through 14 is how Paul kind of ends this prayer. And he says this. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance in the saints in light, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so what Paul is saying is, as we give thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ, don't forget what to be thankful for. Well, Paul, what are we thankful for? He lists them right there. Four. Well, He gives us an inheritance. He writes us into His will. And through this will, we are part of the will because of the work that Christ has done. Christ has delivered us from the guilt and penalty of our sin. He snatched us out of Satan's authority and his kingdom. He's transferred us and translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He's redeemed us by his death and resurrection. He's paid the ransom to release us, freeing us from the slavery of our sin, and then forgiving us of our sins, and continues to forgive us. You see, Paul's at a moment here in his prayer where he's envisioning, as he's writing to the Colossae, if they will just press into Jesus, if they will just press into the Lord, they will gain knowledge of Him and His will. And in fact, He is so overwhelmed by that. He says this, verse 15, He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Amen? That's how we should enter into our praying. How do we know God's will? We know the giver of the will. Why do we want you to pray more? So you'll know God more. So that I'll know God more. So that your spouse, your children will know God more. Wrap this up with this statement. We need spiritual knowledge if we are going to please God. This knowledge comes from knowing God through His Holy Spirit and understanding His Word. That's where it's coming from. And this knowledge will result in our obedience to living out God's will for His people. So here's kind of how we would like to end today in our series on prayer. Is I'm going to give you about 5 or so minutes to just pray. To just be still and pray. And you can pray. I would love for you to pray that prayer for myself, for our leaders and our elders. If you need to pray that for someone within your family, please pray that. Last week we talked about praying the love of God, that God would give us understanding to know the depth of His love. If that's how He would have you pray this morning, pray that way. But take the next few minutes just between you and the Lord and get to know the Lord a little better.